direct your attention to Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 13th verse. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 13th verse. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We are bound. not that devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And friends, when we look round today in the professing world, and when we look round in our own churches, among our own chapels, and when we see what we do, and for the most part it seems that this the truth, and faithful and very little upon people, it brings one to seek out before God that one might be kept. It would be an unspeakable mercy to be kept right down far away in death. It will. The apostle here in this chapter refers to that wicked one which shall be revealed, one whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And he goes on to speak of those unto whom God shall send a strong delusion, so much so that they should believe a lie. And yet beneath all this, there is, as it were, the irresistible fulfilling of the word of God, not only in the salvation of his people, but in the damnation of the ungodly. And God's word shall stand, both as it respects the salvation of his people and the everlasting punishment of all men that disobey him. The damnation of the characters referred to by the apostle was this: they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It doesn't say they believed not the truth. There are many perhaps who outwardly acknowledge the Bible as we know it to be true, but there is not a receiving of the love of it. And therefore, in, as it were, looking round at these things and mentioning them to the Thessalonians, the church unto whom the apostle was writing here, he says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because God has from the beginning chosen you through salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. As if he would set before them here those, and he knew that church unto whom he was writing. He loved them in the Lord, and he felt in his own heart, I believe, as some of us feel in our own hearts concerning others whom we love. We can bless God that there's a right work, that there's a work of grace. And do we not rejoice when we see the real work of grace in another? Oh, indeed we do. So the apostle here, setting aside all these who were falling away and being carried away by the evil spirit, even the spirit of Satan, he who sends his ministers in our midst, not as ministers of darkness, but as ministers of light. He could look upon this Thessalonian church, and he could bless God that he knew and felt that the work of grace begun in their heart, that it was indeed a work of grace. And therefore he seems to set forth here, right beginning in contradistinction to those who did not have right beginnings. We know this, that a child of God will never fall away, and that's a great mercy. Some of us have said many morning once through the poet, if ever it could come to pass that she would cry And indeed, as I have already mentioned, we can but rejoice when we see the true work of grace. But friend, the way is narrow. And the apostle here, in writing to the Thessalonians, desired to thank God because he could see that in their cases there had been no taking up religion and a falling away. But now the Lord, by the mighty power of his grace, had laid hold upon those people unto whom he was writing. And he knew and felt that God from the beginning had chosen them unto salvation. Friend, if you've got a religion like that, then you do well to bless God for it. It's a great mercy in these days of such declension that the Lord had come and give us the known feeling that in eternity, in the beginning, long before we sinned, and they are the sins which grieve us, but long before that, he loved us in Christ. So then this truth concerning election, electing love and mercy of God, it is, as one of the articles of faith in the Westminster Confession said, it's full of unspeakable comfort to godly people, and so it is. And yet, it's the very truth against which so many people today live. And even if outwardly they do not take us to task about preaching these doctrines, and even if in their normal walk they do not raise any objection to them, yet deep down in their heart there may be a hatred to those doctrines. And I believe it was something like this to which the apostle referred to in the previous verses. Those who receive not the love of the truth. Friends, I ask you this question. Has God brought you to love the doctrine of election? Some of us can look within and say this, well, if the Lord had not chosen us, we had never chosen him. And perhaps some of us can say that we are in a position to judge concerning ourselves better than you are. I know my own heart. The Lord and myself alone know the terrible depths of iniquity in which dwells in my heart. I am no stranger to looking within and saying, can ever God dwell here? Can such besetting evils dwell in one that's born of God? And therefore I can with some authority speak and say this, I know that there is nothing in me to merit God's favor. And I can discriminating doctrines, O may God enlighten your eyes. Some of us have been brought to know the reality of these truths, because as we stand before you now, we can say this: if God had never chosen us, then we had never chosen him. So then, in this statement of the apostles, that God had from the beginning chosen them to salvation, herein we see how it comes about that no child of God shall ever miscarry. They are in their covenant, given by God unto the great covenant head, even Jesus Christ. For as the apostle in writing to Timothy, speaking of it, who has saved us, he said, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now then, his doctrine of God's choosing, it is very clearly set before us throughout the whole of God's word. There are times when, no matter where we turn, we see very clearly set forth this doctrine, where the Lord has set a clear dividing line between the goats and the sheep. There are those then who were given to Christ, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was said before they were born, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Lord Jesus, in speaking of these characters, referred to them as the children whom God had given him. And he is set before us in Scripture as the elder brother in his family, as God's first elect, as the covenant head, and all others chosen in him. The psalmist speaks prophetically concerning the church: thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The whole of the election of Christ was, as it were, shut up in Christ before the world was. Now I know that only faith can receive it. But oh dear friend, I see in these truths one and only hope for eternity. comfort. I need this salvation, but I know this is where it's possible to fall away. I should be the first to do it. As I have already mentioned on a previous occasion, we know a little and can speak concerning the sin and the waywardness of our own heart. We look back sometimes over one's life with my blood. They shall be my people. I will be their God, and who shall hinder him? And thus spread down through the ages the work of grace in gathering in poor outcasts, those poor things which are ready to perish. May they make believe, and devil possessed people, one here and one there, the work of grace goes on irresistibly, and all those whom God hath foreordained, these must and shall believe. Not all the crafts of earth or hell shall one of these be thee. Not at least desiring your heart, if pain is implanted there, will be, Lord, bring me sensibly within the grasp of thy showers and thy winds. Give me to know that thou hast loved me eternally, and to know if the Lord takes us off, he will never put us down. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You might notice here, before going a little further, concerning the doctrine of election, we see here how all God's people will hold on their way. They will persevere on to the end. I like those words of hymn 77. Brethren, would you know your state? What it is supports you still? While tempted every day, yet you stand, and stand you will. And the answer is given. Long before on earth, nay, before Jehovah laid the foundations of the earth, ye were chosen in your head. Then the secret chosen in Christ. We found to give thanks always to God for you, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And then we see the means through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There are two things mentioned here. And God has joined together. God has this that we can try to separate them. We know that when the work of grace is begun, there is a right knowledge of the truth. But a command of the apostle unto the Philippian jailer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thy house, and thou shalt be saved. And therefore we know that the belief of the truth day when he anointed the eyes of the blind man. And so then, in all these means, oh, may God ever keep us from this blindness. And it is our mercy to see that the Lord might lead us humbly into the knowledge of all things, both as it respects means and ends. This sanctifying by the Holy Spirit seems then to set forth the setting apart for the wonderful overruling of God the Holy Spirit, working in the heart of each character, both the will and the do of God's good pleasure. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Apostle John, in speaking of that anointing, he said, "The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." The Lord Jesus, in speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit, said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And it seems then to set forth here how the Holy Spirit, working in the heart of these characters, both the will, both to will and to do, of God's good pleasure and predetermined pleasure concerning them, it seems to set forth how body, mind, soul, and circumstances of all things, there is as it were a yielding oneself into the hand of God, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Those then whom God chooses, sets apart, this sanctification seems to set forth the choosing, the election of God, and then the pardon of sin, and then justification by faith, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Both then, as it was foreknown in the mind of God, and in the walking out of these truths, putting our feet in them, as it were, handling them, feeling them, and tasting them in our lives. Chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And in this belief of the truth, it clearly sets forth here how the preaching of the gospel is the means, signally open and blessed by God, recording it of his people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, by the word of God. And the Lord Jesus is speaking of his sheep, in whose heart he had implanted that living faith. He said, "A stranger will they not follow?" And it seems to that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And he goes on to say, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus.